The FPL experiment is back. Three mates, one team. That's the experiment. The target for the season is to hit the top 10,000 teams. International break is nearly done. We've all been there. We've thought about Ronaldo. We've thought about wild card. We've gone, yep, no, yep, no. We've all been there. Let's make some plans for game week 4. Before we do get started with the podcast, we have been nominated at the Football Content Awards. We're in the running for Best Fantasy Football Podcast. We would love it if you voted for us. So you've still got a chance to do that. You can vote now. Every person who is listening right now, if you voted, maybe we could win. There's some big dogs in the running. But if you go and vote for us right now, Football Content Awards, then we would love that. You can vote on the website. There's also a link on our Instagram and on our Twitter as well, at FPL Experiment. I'm Adam. Greg's here. All right, Greg?
Hello, mate.
No, Nick? Nope. Well, he's not actually on Zoom. He's away on holiday, but he has made it for the podcast. So good work, Nick.
Hello, mate. You're right.
Yeah, good. You're having a lovely break?
Yeah, I've spent a week in Pembrokeshire in South Wales. I've been trying to tell all the Welsh folk about the podcast, but they're more interested in rugby. But I have spent a lot of time working on my American football skills. So my arm is sweet right now.
Have you just gone away on your own? Aren't you with wife and child?
Yeah.
Does it not look a bit bizarre with like a grown man in a just throwing a pigskin around in the field on his own?
No. I'm with family, so I've got a brother-in-law to play with. So he's not quite as good as me, but you know, he's got time.
Mate, I think it's good for you to have a break because you work so hard. You know, there was one morning when Nick didn't get to watch daytime TV a couple of weeks back. So, you know, he deserves a break.
Mate, I'm exhausted. I'm absolutely exhausted. So this has been the dream.
Anyway, apologies for not doing a show last time out. Nick's internet went down. We tried to do one during the international break. Because he lives on an oil rig in the middle of nowhere, there was no phone signal. So he couldn't possibly use 3G. Got a house in North London. And Greg loves the excuse. I didn't know what was going on WhatsApp. Greg said, I can't record. I'm in a house where there are too many kids. I mean, what was going on there? I was reading WhatsApp like, I don't understand. What?
Well, no, it wasn't that there was too many. Well, there were a lot of kids running around, but then also because there wasn't many rooms and the kids were then going to bed, I'd had to have done the podcast either in the bedroom, which we're sharing with our little lad, or in the lounge with everyone else whilst they're watching TV, or just having to sit there whilst they're listening to me on the pod, which would be really weird.
I think the part that was missing, and I don't know if you either didn't tell me or I just didn't listen, were you on holiday? Why were you just in a house with lots of kids? That was the part that made no sense to me.
So we went to see our cousins. So Joe was on holiday, but I was working throughout the day.
This is why we've been nominated for an award. This sort of stuff.
Commitment to the cause, lads.
Do you know, my favourite part of all of that was that, Greg, that you sent through your show notes for us to read out. When has that ever happened on any opinion show? Can you imagine that match of the day? Alan Shearer calls up the producer. Oh, I'm sorry, I'm in a house with loads of kids running around. Oh, don't worry, Alan, says the producer. That sounds like a completely normal excuse. Don't you worry. I'm sure Micah Richards will do it, or Danny Murphy. Oh, no, don't worry, Alan. We'll just get one of the producers to read out your notes.
Gold dust in there, mate.
If anyone's interested in a Greg Shaw audiobook, do get in touch. That would be... Anyway, we're going to kind of jump around a little bit with what we would normally do. Greg and I will run the show as normal. But first of all, because Nick's away, we're going to jump straight to differentials. So who's doing the theme tune this week?
I think you should. Like, I've done it. Nick's done it. Let's get an Inca differential of the week out there.
All right, differential of the week. Differentials cost £8 million or less, and they're owned by 5% of teams or fewer. Who was the best differential last time out?
God, it feels like an age ago now. I have no idea.
15 points. Plays for Palace.
Oh, Gallagher.
Yeah, Conor Gallagher, looking good. So last time out, Greg was at the top of the table, 14 points. I had 12, Nick had 2. The Southampton double-up, Nick, didn't really work out for us. You went for Armstrong, I went for Adams. It wasn't quite the goal fest that we imagined.
No, but I mean, I still squeezed out a few points, didn't I?
Yeah, you still got an assist there, so that's taking you up to 7 in the table. I'm on to 14. Greg's on to 22 after he went for Damari Gray.
Come on!
Huge gap already. So, Nick, who are you going for this time out?
I'm going to go for Ismail Assar from Watford. He is 6 million. He's 4.7% owned, I think. They've got a very good fixture. He's not been doing too much the last couple of games, but that first game, he looked very lively. Everything that Watford do seems to, you know, they seem to run it through him. And I think he could do some damage this week. So he's my pick for the week.
Nice. How about you, Greg?
So I've gone for the lesser heralded of the West Ham attackers at the moment, but probably one of the most informed as well. Fornals, 6 million, 2.5%, two goals, one assist in the first three games of the season. And I think they're going to take Southampton apart as well this weekend. So he's my differential of the week.
Nice. Do you know what? I'm going to go against you in a way, Nick. I feel like Watford defensively, they're not particularly great. And I feel like at some stage, I know that Greg went for him the other week, but at some stage, he's got to score because there are so many opportunities. So I'm going to go Adama Traore.
Like it.
It has to happen at some point. He gets into ridiculous positions. I just wonder if he's actually a football player. That's all I'd say on that.
What, you think he could move into a different sport?
Rugby sevens?
Yes, he'd be so good at rugby sevens, yeah.
He'd be a great running back in the NFL.
Yeah,
he would.
You'd never catch him, but he wouldn't be able to. He'd probably drop it before he got to the point of going over for a touchdown. So we've got Sarr, Traore and Fornells. They're the players that we're going for in differential of the week. Let's talk about transfers with Nick. Nick, it's been a really tough time. We kind of decided that we weren't going to go ahead with wildcard because there was COVID. There were the Brazilian players. Are they going to be ready? The international break, potential injuries. Do you still feel the same? What are you thinking about the moves that we might make?
I was all set not to wildcard. And the reason being is that I think a lot of people are getting excited about Ronaldo, Lukaku. And I can see why people would be excited about that. But I think there's still a lot of variables that I wanted to monitor for a few weeks just to kind of see how Ronaldo settles in, how it affects Bruno. And I think there's just so much to consider. I didn't feel that if I picked a wildcard team now, I could pick it, really. Like, there's just too much going on. I think I need more information. So my preference right now is to play it safe and just swap out Barnes from Leicester, who's been pretty rubbish for us. He's done nothing. And getting Torres from Man City, because he has been incredible for them. I don't think he's going to get dropped. He seems to be playing out of position as a striker. And at 7 million, even if he does get rotated now and again, I think he's worth the risk. I wouldn't want to bring in Mahrez or, you know, another one of those attacking midfielders from City just because there's that risk of rotation every week. Whereas with Torres, for 7 million, you can kind of take it on the chin and just make sure you have someone half decent on the bench. So I think for me, Barnes to Torres seemed like the most sensible move. The other thing I was thinking about is this whole Brazilian stuff that's come out today. And that does put a slight question mark over whether Rafinha is going to play for us this weekend. But I'll rely on you, seeing as you guys have been a bit closer to the football this week. But if we do think that Rafinha might not play, I'd be minded to maybe just get rid of one of our bench defenders and spend a bit of money just to upgrade into someone that's going to play. So that was my position, but I've been in Wales. So you tell me.
So agree with you about Torres. Well, certainly I agreed with him at the start of the international break because I think City could run riot against Leicester. Like, they've been so poor at the back. And when you dig into their numbers, that's what I really mean. And City have been, you know, brilliant in front of goal. But Ferran Torres, and this is maybe what you might have missed, Nick, has played all three games over the international break, started again tonight against Kosovo. You've got KDB coming back. You've got Phil Foden coming back. So that might potentially impact his game time. So whilst I agree, I think he's been brilliant, I think there are a number of more reasons why he might not end up necessarily in the team. I agree that Rafinha potentially is an issue. You know, it kind of seems to be that the story is moving one way then the other. So one thing we can't really do is make our transfer until right up until the last minute. But for me, Torres, I have got concerns about his game time and whether or not he's going to start in the next match.
as solid as he has been, and for a pick started all three games this season so far for City, I'm not sure how long that continues.
Okay, Nick, I'm conscious, obviously, that you're away on holiday and you're going out for your dinner. And I know it's very important. We don't want to interrupt your dinner. Let's talk about captaincy very quickly. Who was on your mind for captain for this game week?
It was a toss-up for me between Bruno and Salah. Bruno's form has just not been great the last couple of weeks. So I think Salah versus Leeds, I mean, that's got captain written all over it for me. He was where my head was at.
I think based on our team at the moment, I think Salah's the best option. I think Ronaldo is a brilliant captain option based on Newcastle being horrendous and him doing so well against poor sides, and they have been really poor. We obviously don't have him. So I think Salah's the best option. Leeds haven't been great defensively. Maybe Greg and I will talk about that a bit more. Where are you going for dinner, Nick, by the way?
I'm going to a little seafood restaurant in Tenby.
Have you looked at the menu?
No, I like to save that when I get to the restaurant, really, you know, build the excitement.
Yeah, I like that.
I'll probably be having some sort of shellfish.
For starter?
Yeah, and then potentially some more shellfish for me.
What are those little fish called, Nick? Like white bait. I remember being in the restaurant with you when one of our other friends threw a load of white bait into your mouth from across the table. Do you remember that? It's a weird day.
That's how I like to be. That's how I like to consume my food. So I'll probably be going for white bait to start, throwing across the room. I'll have a couple of lobsters.
NFL style. Go long.
A couple of lobsters for my main. And then I'll probably have a little bowl of pickled cockles for dessert.
Well, have a wonderful night with your cockles, Nick.
Cheers, lads.
Right then, Greg, should we go back to the start?
Yeah.
Let's talk about last time out for the FPL experiment team. We went for Antonio captain. Great decision. Really pleased that that got brought up on the podcast. I think Nick decided that we were going to go that way. We all agreed. Great. Calvert-Lewin came in, scored for us. Salah and Shaw, great. Few issues. Harvey Barnes, longer term issues with Fernandes. We'll talk about that a bit later because I think he's a key issue for many people. So we are going to address that. We'll talk a bit more about game week picks. We'll talk a bit more about what transfer we might want to make and our opinion, Greg's opinion, my opinion. Also, want to talk about the FPL Experiment League. The code, by the way, for the FPL Experiment, which is the name of the league, is 3XNTKP, all lowercase. You can grab that on our Twitter and our Instagram. It's in the bio. Ben Costin at the top at the moment with a rank of 1.5K. He's got Greenwood and Grealish and Tanganga doing the business for him. Five teams in the top 10K in the league. Ben Costin, Nick Davis, Calvin Coe, Sam Schoenberg, and Danal Breen. So well done to you guys, all doing pretty well at the start of the season.
Phenomenal.
Tough at the minute as well to be in that top 10K because lots of guys have played their chips and played bench boost and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah, it will level out, but fair play to those that are there at the moment.
Ronaldo's in the Premier League now, apparently.
I still can't get my head around this. It literally came out of nowhere and I did not expect this to happen. And I actually start the transfer window envisaged Kane being at City. I thought they were just going to go all out, get Grealish, get Kane in, tie up the league, brilliant. For them to have been such a protracted affair, you thought, okay, this might not happen. Who are they actually then going to sign? Obviously, Ronaldo started sniffing around one last payday, keep him in the limelight. Messi obviously went, but it's just a bonkers transfer window. But yeah, it's made FBL the most exciting, I think, for a very long time in terms of you can't just have the same two or three differentials and then hop off and hop on. You've got five, maybe even six proper choices that you could make and all justify each week. And I think that's what's going to be exciting this year. And then hopping on those really interesting differentials that will always crop up throughout the season when someone goes through a purple patch as well.
I think the United Ronaldo transfer is really interesting as well, because I think you hear his name and the expectation is he's going to come in and United win the league. But actually, when you're hearing from lots of the experts and the effects maybe that he had on Juventus last season, maybe that's not the case. Maybe, you know, that doesn't buy you the league, bringing Ronaldo in.
Well, I think what's been good about United recently has just been, as a collective, I think they've gelled a bit better. Fernandes, which we'll talk about in a minute, maybe less so at the start of the season, but you can see what they're trying to do as a cohesive unit. And I think that doesn't become a cohesive unit when the first name on the team sheet has to be Ronaldo. how do we feed Ronaldo? How do we keep that ego going? How do we make sure that we get the best out of the player who, I don't know if it was you that mentioned it last week, but his pressing stats for Juve last year were the lowest in the league or there or thereabouts. That doesn't fit into that United front four, front five. So again, they're going to have to change how they do, and they don't have a good enough fulcrum of Fred and Matic and McTominay or whoever you want to put in there to, I think, really then affect really pushing Liverpool, Chelsea and Man City this season.
Yeah, do you know what? It's interesting because I thought United had two major issues still with that team. I thought in goal, and then I thought in defensive midfield, like you said. Actually, De Gea, if he keeps playing like he did against Wolves, where he made some brilliant saves, then they're fine in that department. But yeah, Fred is still a massive issue. I mean, the rest of that team can all press. If they played McTominay and they played Greenwood and they played Rashford, so maybe they don't need Ronaldo to do that. Maybe the team is set up for that. And everyone keeps talking about their crossing ability, but that's only like, that's one way to score a goal, isn't it? You could, you know, you could get into the penalty area with Greenwood, get to the byline and go for a cutback, for example. So it doesn't have to be, you know, deep crosses. I think it's really intriguing what United do with him. Back on FPL with wildcard, main reason for wildcard was to bring him in. We all kind of had a conversation. I was sort of playing devil's advocate with it, really. What were you thinking, Greg? Because Nick's kind of already mentioned what he thought.
So what, whether or not we wanted to play the wild card? I think with where our team's at the moment, I don't think we need to be as aggressive as that. And Nick's, I'm kind of on the same wavelength as Nick at the moment in terms of, I'm just quite happy to have another 1 or 2 weeks just to see what's going on. If you take each player in isolation, right, unless Ronaldo really is guaranteed 80 minutes this weekend, and I think we need to really pay attention to the press conferences this week for a number of people, and I'll explain more in a minute, but unless he's guaranteed 80 minutes, then I don't necessarily think it's justifiable to bring him in on a wild card when all the other players are around and when Greenwood's doing just as, I mean, he's playing phenomenally this season. Then you look at Lukaku, who I really want in our team, but he might be carrying a thigh injury. So he obviously didn't play the last game for Belgium. I think it's just precautionary. I think he'll be all right. But my thoughts would be I'd rather that extra 1 million quid and Lukaku and my team this year than Ronaldo.
Yeah, I think you've got to look at jumping on and off and getting onto Ronaldo when he's got playing really, really poor teams. You know, I've seen a lot of people put stuff out there about how he does really, really well against the teams right at the bottom of the table. Definitely did in Italy last season. I think pound for pound, Lukaku is the better player to have because I think Lukaku could score against anybody. We're going to jump into a new feature that we've kind of got for this season now, which I think is really relevant off the back of this conversation. It's called Stick or Twist. We take a premium player that we're a bit concerned about and we decide whether or not we think we should stick with that player. And in this instance, we've actually got that player in our team and it's Bruno Fernandes. Thoughts on Bruno, Greg? Obviously, again, almost a bit sick of hearing his name already, but it's because of Cristiano.
Yeah, and I think I feel a bit sorry for Bruno. He's gone from being one of the, if not top two best assets in FBL to people just being willing to discredit him straight away. And I think, yes, there's obviously reasons around that, the effect that Ronaldo is going to have on him. But Bruno's not exactly covered himself in glory for the last two game weeks either. He had a fantastic hat-trick against Leeds and Man United that day just blew us apart. But does he keep penalties? Right now, can you really justify an extra 4.3 million on Bruno when Greenwood is sitting there on currently 3 points more scored over the three game weeks? If you take the last two game weeks in isolation alone, Bruno's like 20th for shots in the box. He's 22nd for chance created. He's 21st for expected goal involvement. For the premium midfield asset alongside Salah, that's not good enough. So I think that's why people are like, okay, well, I can really consider jumping off him, going to Ronaldo. I think it'd be a completely different conversation if Bruno had scored a goal in the last three games. Then this decision would be a lot harder. But for me, it makes it a lot easier than to say Bruno, very easy twist for me at the moment.
Yeah, the thing is, I think Bruno could do quite well this week based purely on fixture. But I completely agree with what you've just said. He's not really performing at the moment. And I also went back and looked at what happens when they play together for Portugal. And over the last 3 years in Euro qualifiers, Nations League, the games at the Euros, which obviously were pretty grim because he was tired. But if you go back and look over all of the international games over 3 years, Fernandes just doesn't deliver on the international stage and he's in the team with Ronaldo. And so that just doesn't really work for me. There's no goals, there's no assists. I'm looking at realistically, I've played out with wildcard a lot, and I've looked at what I think would be a good base for the squad, and I think two premium players works best because then you've got balance. And I've written down the premium players that I like at the moment, and he's definitely not in there. He's probably not even in the top four. I've got Salah, Lukaku, Ronaldo, and I think Kane could come back into the picture. He's not there at the moment. But Fernandes isn't in there for me right now.
It's not often that there's two absolute premiums in one team. Yes, fair enough, Kane and Son, and or maybe Mane, but I don't think Mane's really at the level of the Salah. You never really entertain that idea unless you want to double up at some point. But if you're going to double up on a Bruno and Ronaldo, I don't think you're going to get as much bang for your buck there.
Not
particularly
great.
When you know Bruno just will not be on, well, I can't see him being on penalties.
I'd like to ship him quite quickly, but I think he could do okay this weekend. But we'll see when we come to transfers later. Let's talk about the best picks for the game week. We'll start in goal. I've got a feeling we're both going to be in fairly big agreement here because I know you're fairly stats heavy with your choices and I've gone in, dug into and looked at the stats a lot. Who are you thinking about in goal at the moment, Greg?
I've gone little T-Rex arms, Jordan Pickford, at home to Burnley.
Okay.
Reason being, they started the season so much better than I thought they would have. I felt they'd been less attritional. I've actually been quite enjoying watching Everton. But Burnley, yes, I know they played okay against Leeds. I think Leeds actually played into Burnley's hands somewhat there. But Burnley have scored two goals all season. Okay, three clean sheets in the last five against Burnley. Everton have had. They're coming off the back of a clean sheet away to what was pretty an informed Brighton, really. So for me, this is quite an easy choice to go Everton. You could even easily double up Everton defence and goalkeeper this week and be very happy with that choice.
Interesting. I did look at their numbers and I was actually surprised with how good their defensive stats are, Everton, because you don't normally say that, and that's definitely definitely must be to do with the manager.
The goals they have conceded, they've actually pretty much been from keen mistakes. So I think he's had two mistakes leading to goals this season. So you take that out of it, they've actually been pretty solid.
I thought you were going to say Wolves keeper, Sarr. And for me, he was the obvious. Playing Watford, they've created one big chance since the season started. They haven't been great in front of goal. They were okay kind of first match, but against Spurs, they were pretty abysmal. Wolves have been really good defensively and they've been really good against actually pretty good sides. Spurs, Man United, Leicester. Their fixtures are also really good. They don't face one of the top four until game week 15 when I think they face Liverpool. Defender picks, worth looking at Wolves as well. Saïss is the obvious way to go, but he is 5 million. Always seems to be there or thereabouts for corners. I think there's lots of value in their 4.5 million options as well.
Do you not worry with Wolves that Wolves, with how they're set up, could be better against a team that's pushing at them so they can use their like weapons to really counterattack? No, actually, they pretty much dominated Spurs when they played them. So maybe slightly different. I don't know. You watched that game more than me, but that's just my little niggle I've got when Wolves play weaker opposition.
I think they're just trained to be very defensive. I just don't think Watford have got enough for this game week. And I think Wolves, for 4.5s, you're not expecting them to deliver every single week, but you kind of know that they're not going to get absolutely smashed. You know, I'm not hell-bent on bringing in someone from Wolves, but I think those fixtures are a bit too good to ignore. Who are you thinking about in defence, Greg?
So I've gone for an old favourite of mine, Cresswell, away to Southampton. So 5.5 million. He's still owned by about 17%, so might not necessarily be a surprise choice, but Southampton have been pretty leaky this season. Yes, they played a bit better at last game week, but I think with Zouma signing for West Ham, they become such a bigger set-piece aerial threat. And we know Cresswell's got a great delivery on him. Zouma's going to get that bonce of his on a few of those crosses. Would he get like 5 goals or something last season? I didn't realise this until looking a bit deeper into the sort of the history between these two teams, but West Ham dominate Southampton. Like, they've kept 4 clean sheets in the last 5 games against them. Cresswell's already got a goal and assist this season. They've got a couple of nice fixtures running up as well. And aside from maybe the Man United fixture out of the Southampton, Man United Leeds, they've got a nice run after that too. So I'm very keen on West Ham defenders, Soufal or Cresswell at the moment.
Really good point about Zouma providing that threat for Cresswell. I hadn't thought about that. I know that he's going to make them better defensively because so many goals that they've conceded have come because of mistakes from Dawson. And, you know, plug Zouma in there and all of a sudden you're looking, you know, far better. In midfield, I am so keen on Jota. I'd love to get Jota into our team, especially if Firmino isn't going to be around with all this ridiculous Brazil stuff that's going on. I think anyway, even if that wasn't the case, I'd still want to get him in. I think he's really well priced. I think even if he comes on for 20 minutes, you think he could do something. The positions where they put him, he's really well placed to get chances in the penalty area. Leeds, Palace and Brentford in his next three. I'd love to get him in, but because we've got Tsimikas, Salah and Trent, we just can't get him.
He'd be my preferred choice ahead of someone like Torres if you're going to go at that price range to get someone in.
Yeah,
I actually think I didn't think Jota was as good as he was when he signed for Liverpool. I thought the price they paid for him was extortionate, but he's really clinical. He's a really good finisher. He just for a little guy, he gets in really good positions and scores more headers than I thought he'd ever score.
Yeah, I think he scores more headers than he thought he would score. Like, I don't think he sort of looks a bit surprised when they go in. But Mane was like that when they signed him. He wasn't very clinical either. They're just really good at getting their players in the right positions. That first couple of years when Mane came through, I was like, hang on a minute. I mean, you did not do this at Southampton.
Yeah, he should be on a lot of people's radars this week. Depends what they do with what I think might happen. Those that are playing wild cards are going to really struggle to get that. Depends how many premiums they go for. But I think you might see a dearth of 7.5 million, 6.5 million sort of players that aren't being picked and their ownership dropping because people are going to have to squeeze in a 4.5 million player, 5.5 million midfielders to really ram in all of these extra players that they're all talking about. Because not many people are going to want to drop Trent. Salah's going to be in there as well. You're going to go in for one of Lukaku or Ronaldo on a wild card. So that then leaves you with, you've probably got DCL or someone of that sort of stature up front as well with an Antonio. It doesn't leave you much to play around with. So those sort of players, I think, are going to be the ones that are going to help you go up for a few league ranks.
Who have you gone for in midfield?
All the hullabaloo about Man United players, but I've gone for Greenwood. I just think at the start of the season, I was big on him. He's still only 16% owned. I think Ronaldo would be really good for him anyway. I think his finishing's got even better recently. It was good anyway, but it's been phenomenal so far this season. He's had a nice break not being called up by Gareth for whatever weird reason Gareth's justified that for. But Newcastle, as you rightly said earlier, they have been so poor defensively. They're conceding big chances galore. They're conceding shots left, right and centre. They're all over the place defensively. Attacking-wise, they're actually quite a decent unit. But defensively, I think United are going to tear them apart. And they have done the last two times they've played them as well.
And you're right. You think this week you'd be more likely to play Greenwood than you would Sancho because Sancho's just not bedded in. And he's going to probably take a couple of months. Greenwood, he's been bang at it. So you probably start Greenwood, you would think.
Greenwood has to start. He scored in every single game this season.
I think in attack, Ronaldo, obvious choice. Same reasons, really. Mainly Newcastle being absolutely terrible at the back, and he is a bully against big teams. I mean, they've nearly conceded 3 a game, 8 goals in 3. But then there are just so many other options that you could go for. I think I like Lukaku more than I do Ronaldo this week, purely looking at that setup. Villa, Martinez not playing, Buendia out, and I think Tyrone Mings is out as well. A Villa defence without Mings or Martinez.
Mate, I'm all in on Lukaku this week. Literally everything you said. I think not only has he looked really good for him, I think he slotted in very, very well to that Chelsea team from the off. He was so unlucky not to score against Liverpool. A great block by Big Verge. But that depleted Villa team, who haven't really clicked at the start of this season, they've been pretty boring. And aside from some superb Ings finishing, probably would have been on a lot less points than what they're sitting on now. So I think Lukaku against poor Jed Steer could be meat and drink for the boy.
Yeah, there's other options as well. DCL, obviously, if he's fit and he plays against Burnley, that could be danger for Burnley. They're arguably the worst defence in the league. Antonio as well. I mean, you could quite easily have five strikers.
Kane as well.
Jumping to thinking about the FPL experiment team, I found it really hard to make a decision this week. And I really wanted to kind of have a listen to what you and Nick were saying. Nick kind of said what I was thinking a couple of weeks ago, but I don't necessarily agree with that right now because I tried to simplify this and think to myself, who do I want in the team? And I came down to 3 players. I want Jota. I can't go to Jota with our team because we've got Tsimikas unless we take a hit. So we could switch out Barnes for Jota because Barnes is our weak link. Let's be honest. He's not delivering. We probably need to get rid. He's playing City this week. Can we stick Jota in there? Could we remove Tsimikas and put somebody else in? If you do that, you've got other 4 million options. I'm not a huge fan of those 4 million options. So is it worthwhile taking a hit to do that? I don't know. I'm just giving you my full thought process. I like Ronaldo a lot. We could get rid of Fernandes, bring in Ronaldo, but that would mean we'd need a £5 million midfielder. Weakens our team a lot. There aren't many £5 million midfielders out there that really do it for me. And we've got problems this week in that Barnes isn't delivering, who would then still be in the squad. Rafinha would then be in the squad and potentially might not play. So, you know, there's a lot of issues there. So what I was thinking was, and one, this is a sort of a bit of an out there thought, we could get Lukaku, we could get Gray if DCL is fit and take out Fernandes and take out Obafemi. And my reason for Lukaku was, I think Villa potentially could get bullied this week. And I think he could score as highly as Ronaldo. And I think next week, they've got Spurs. Spurs have not been that great defensively. Mm-hmm. And I think there is a problem waiting to happen there. And I think that problem is going to be Chelsea. I don't know necessarily that Chelsea will pull them apart, but I could see it quite easily being two or three.
Do you want to know my transfer suggestions, Adam?
Mm.
Obafemi out, Lukaku in, Bruno out, Gray in.
Interesting.
I think it makes sense. I think Lukaku, I think it's guaranteed more minutes this week than Ronaldo is. I think they've both got an opportunity to go to town this week against two, if Villa's team is going to be as depleted as we think it is, two very weak teams defensively. I think Gray's on form. And I think Calvert-Lewin's had a week to rest his big toe now, hasn't he? And a bit of a thigh injury that was caused because of it. Burnley, we know, are giving up chances. They've not been great defensively, particularly from sort of long balls as well. So I think that makes sense all round for me. And it still gives us a bit of flexibility there. We can change Barnes out the following week. We can maybe do something else along the line. I mean, we're not going to be far off from playing a wild card. So for me, I think that's a sensible move. It's nothing drastic, and we can still hop on and hop off of a premium before we play a wild card.
The thing for me, I was thinking, I want to bring in a couple of players that maximise our opportunity to score points. And we're bringing in two players there who have potential, not just this week, but also next week, to score us points. It's not a short-term decision. We did say at the start of the season, though, that we weren't going to take any hits, or we were going to try and minimise the number of hits that we take. That's the one thing that's in my mind here.
It feels like every man and his dog is going to be wildcarding or has got... I mean, Lukaku's already owned by 20% of people. That's probably going to be more by the end of the week. I think we have to have one of those two in our team. And I don't think Fernandes can justify his place at the moment at that much in our team as well. So it's our first hit of the season. We're saving a wild card. I don't think we need to wait too long to use it. I think wild card's there to be used. But also, it gives us an option. If Rafinha doesn't play, then we've got Barnes coming off the bench. So we've still got a player that we know is going to play starting.
Yeah, that's a really good point. The only thing is, it does feel really, really bizarre not having an attacking Manchester United player when they're facing against that Newcastle team. And
I know
we could get burned by that situation because Fernandes could still score 10 points despite everything that we both said earlier on. Did you consider Greenwood at all? Because you've mentioned him a lot.
Yeah, I have. And I've just tried to see if I can swing him into our team by getting rid of Barnes as well, but we're still £500,000 short. We just can't do it unless we wildcard. And if we wildcarded, I'd absolutely want Greenwood in my team.
Do you know what's been going through my head in the first couple of weeks of the season? The start of last season, you were vibing. You were on it. And at the start of this season, you've made some unusual moves. But Nick has been flying. Like, he's been on it, right? Now, I'm potentially going against what Nick's been saying, even though Nick's been going really well. But maybe you're running into your... This is your moment, because I was quite aware that it would come and this would happen at some point, that your turn to run into form would come and we just had to spot it. Like, that's the thing with there being three of us. We've just got to spot who's in their run of form.
I bloody hope so, because I've been third wheeling for three game weeks now and I've hated it. If it wasn't for differential, there'd be no point in having me on this podcast.
But that's the thing. It's like a real football team. You know, we all go through our moments, our little purple patches. We'll see what Nick says about this kind of Lukaku Gray thing and have a look at what we're going to do in the lead up to the game when we hear more. What are you thinking about captain then? Let's say we get Lukaku into the team. Does that change your perspective on captain, or would you still go with Salah?
It does. And I had two options. I was like, if we're Lukaku or Ronaldo light, then Salah is my favourite choice, without a shadow of a doubt. If we have Lukaku or Ronaldo in our team, then I think you captain them. I just think Chelsea at home to a depleted Villa, I see lots of goals for Chelsea in that game. And they haven't really hit, they haven't really gone out of third gear this season so far, Chelsea. I think they're ready to ramp it up and put a marker down.
Would have been really interesting to see what would have happened in that Liverpool game if there hadn't been the sending off. I know it was the decision that had to be made based on, you know, the law, but it would have been really interesting to see if they would have just gone on the rampage in that match.
We'll never know. I mean, but that's the beauty of football, isn't it? You're always hypothesising. But then look at what Chelsea still did with James sent off. They still created chances. They still put Liverpool on the back foot for portions of that game and created good chances as well. Not just half chances on a quick break. They actually controlled some of that game. So I think Chelsea are really good this season. I don't think that's deniable, but I think there's a lot more still to come from them.
I think I still favour Salah, but I think I'm just thinking that because he's a midfielder and he gets those, you know, those additional points there for him. What do you think about Leeds, by the way? Because let's be honest, defensively, not even me doing a joke, defensively at the start of the season, Leeds have been all over the shop. You know, it's been big chances. It's almost, it's not quite back to, but it's quite similar to the way they played at the start of last season. But then at the end of last season, Leeds weren't really like that. I know it's probably difficult for you to take the glasses off.
No, I'd say why.
But what do you think? Do you think they've kind of come, they're coming back? Because I know some of their players are coming back into the fold and they're fit again.
Yeah, I do. And I think people think that Calvin Phillips is a huge loss to us when he's not there. And absolutely he is. A stats about him in a team to when he is, they're so different. But people also forget that a big, big point of why we were so much more solid and so much more of a better unit defensively in that sort of final third of the season was Llorente. Not only is he really good defensively and calm, is a calming influence on what can be a bit of erratic players around him, like Cooper can sometimes be really rash. Ayling can go wandering sometimes, but he's a really good passer of the ball and he's actually really penetrative with his passing. He sets up a lot of our attacks.
But didn't he play last time? He played in the last game, didn't he?
He did, but realistically, it's a stupid mistake from us for that bloody Chris Wood goal. But we weren't as bad defensively as we had been previously. I think he makes a big difference to us. I still think Liverpool batter us, by the way. I know we had a pretty decent record against the top six back end of last season, but I'm going into that game with a lot of trepidation.
Anything nice to end the pod, Greg?
I did tell you the other day, I'd just been on a stag do, 21 lads, 4 of them called Greg. Never been surrounded by that many Gregs in my life.
How many people on the stag?
21.
21. I mean, a fifth of them were called Greg. I thought it was a really weird way to choose friends. Like, oh yeah, that means I won't forget their names. I'll just get friends with the same names. Were there like 4 other Daves and 4 other Erics?
Nah. No, the rest were all pretty much generic names. Whereas the Gregs was, and obviously in Newcastle, home of Gregs. And there was a lot of alpha Gregs in that group as well. So a lot of peacocking Gregs, which is something that I've not experienced before, because normally I'm the peacock in alpha Greg. So
how do you think you ranked amongst the other Gregs that were in the group? Why do you think you ranked there?
Okay. Oh, I was, of all the Gregs, I was probably maybe third, maybe second. Also, I put the fact that I got very pissed very quickly on both nights.
What's new?
Probably let myself down a little bit. But there was very much an alpha Greg who was also the alpha of the group.
So okay, what was the most alpha-y, manly thing that he did?
He's always the one that buying the 20 of Sambucas and making the Ordanum and then making this stag drink the remnants of those Sambucas that spilled from the tray and he had to down it off from the tray. Like little stuff like that. He was always at the front of the group leading, right, we're going to go here. This is where we're going next. All that sort of stuff. Decisions making. He weren't even a bloody best man.
I bet everyone was secretly saying, though, he's the worst, Greg. Nobody.
No, I was secretly whispering that in the ear. Oh.
Just what, around the group? God, he's a bit much. What was the Greg like who wasn't? Was there like a Greg that wasn't the alpha male?
He was just a solid Greg.
Okay.
Like, reliable. Good for a one-on-one chat. Perked up in some good moments as well. But just a nice 6.5, 7 out of 10 Greg for all the weekend.
Mm. There's definitely some kind of feature here where we should get all the Gregs who listen to get in touch.
How many Gregs actually do listen?
It'd be mad if 20% of the people who listen to this were called Greg. You might be their hero. They might be changing the way that they are to become more like this, Greg.
That reminds me, there is a pigeon. One of our listeners put a vote up on Twitter the other day about 4 a.m. He was buying some stupid, I don't know, life-size pigeon, and he decided to call it Greg. So there's another Greg.
It's probably the weirdest thing that's happened when we've been doing this show. When I read those tweets, I just, because I woke up probably about 7 o'clock in the morning, standard time for me to wake up, went onto Twitter. And I feel like it was a midweek as well. I feel like it might have been like a Thursday or a Wednesday or something. And he's like, I couldn't sleep. I was like, oh yeah. I've bought a pigeon, fake pigeon, and I've decided to call it Greg. I was like, I'm not ready for this. I'm not awake enough for this to happen.
Well, that's when you know you've made it, mate. You have a pigeon named after you.
And do you know what? We embrace all types of weirdo on the FPL Experiment podcast. So thanks for listening, you weirdos. We'll post the team up when we get there. And when we've made our decision, we'll put that on Twitter and on Instagram at FPL Experiment. Have a great game week. Hope it works out well. Whatever you've decided to do, wild card, Ronaldo, Lukaku, whatever you're up to, hope it goes all right.